Okay, we'll call to order this meeting of Lebanon Township Committee on June 6, 2018. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the municipal building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Please all rise for the flag salute and a moment of silence for our servicemen and women. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first item of business is presentation of the minutes. If there's no objection, we can combine the minutes of the regular meeting of May 16th and the minutes of the executive session of May 16th. Any comments, corrections, or motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve both the minutes of the regular meeting of May 16th and the executive session of May 16th.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we open the meeting to public comment, where the comments are limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come up, state your name, the road you live on, and your comment on the agenda items.
I have a question on the bill list. The other agenda items.
Seeing no other comments, is there a motion to close?
Make a motion to close.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So, then the first resolution on our agenda tonight, resolution number 44-2018, governing body certification of the annual audit. The conclusion would be, therefore, be it resolved that the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon hereby states that it has complied with NJAC 5030-6.5 and does hereby submit a certified copy of this resolution and the required affidavit to said board to show evidence of said compliance to our annual audit. Any discussion?
Has everybody reviewed it so that we can say that we have?
I think when we vote, that'll be the determinant.
Okay. One would hope.
Is there a motion to approve Resolution 44-2018?
I'll make a motion to approve for Resolution 44-2018, governing body certification of the annual audit.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. You. Next resolution, resolution number 45-2018, granting fireworks permit to A&B Stainless Valve and Fitting Company. Fireworks to be held on July 7th, 2018 at 9 p.m. Is there any discussion or motion?
Motion to approve resolution number 45-2018, resolution granting fireworks permit to A&B Stainless Valve and Fitting Company.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Last resolution for tonight, in this section anyway, is resolution 46-2018, resolution awarding a contract for 2018 road materials. The DPW department went out for bid for road materials, and bids were received on May 24th, 2018. The lowest bid that was chosen is recommended to us is with Warren Materials for Top Mix I-5 at $56.85 per ton, and also Warren Materials for Base Mix I-4, $51.35 per ton. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 46-2018, awarding contract for 2018 road materials.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're on to old business, which will be the Mark Lall show tonight. First item of business is the municipal telephones.
Okay, so we have the two quotes from Monmouth that we have from the TKG. I had them
be more specific as to last quotes were really just kind of general values. I had them specifically as to what specific phones, which had power supplies, which needed the amount of side cards they used for receptionist ones, which ones would be PoE switches, which are powered from the Ethernet, ones that need power plugs. So it was about as apples to apples as we can make the two final numbers here. Really, at the end of the day, it looks like the Monmouth first costs on the Yealink. As a side note, I did some research just on my own on Yealink. I don't have any in my office. I have Cisco phones in my office. No problems with them. Reviews, I looked at 100 reviews. Most everybody who uses them are happy with them. You have the one or two, you know, that I'm sure get some bad piece of equipment. But at the end of the day, there's Mama stands behind them that they'd replace them. Or I imagine TKG would also, you know, if there's a bad piece of equipment. So I don't see a reason we have to go with the more expensive Cisco phones. They look very similar. They answer a phone call. They all have the same features. So I don't see a reason to spend more money on that to preface this. So looking at this Yealink, the two quotes are for Yealink. It puts the one at $1,300.25 or $1,325 more on the TKG over the Monmouth for the first cost. Monmouth's hosting costs are a little more. On the first year, it's pretty much almost equal if you take the hosting cost and the equipment cost together. The one thing that's unclear on the TKG, because they aren't providing the hosting service. They are just providing the phones and then handing us over to a hosting service that would then manage the phone system for us. That what would be the local support for us here, whereas Monmouth, it's where they're hosting, they're providing the phones, they're providing the service. As long as we have them as the host, that's the service cost. It's built in there. If they need a problem, they have, you know, anybody in any of the buildings has a problem, they call up Monmouth and say, hey, this phone isn't working, this isn't working, I have a problem. They'll troubleshoot it. Their IT. The other one, we have essentially two people in the mix here that we have to call. So, I mean, at the end, for ease, for I think for our staff and everything, my view is going towards the Monmouth Telecom for the long term.
The TKG, they're not going to be able to give us any service? Or
huh?
He's local. He's not going to be able to provide us any service?
Yeah, but they were paying for it after the first year above and beyond any service, whereas Monmouth's, we got a call, it's part of the package. Like, you call them up and say, hey, I got a problem with the phone. If it's a new, if they need to replace the phone, they'll replace the phone. And we're going to pay for a service call in the TKG or however, or get a service contract with them to be support. That's the way.
Hey, Mark, on the two quotes, the TKG recommends 11 lines simultaneously, and Monmouth Telecom recommends 16 lines simultaneously. If we were to reduce the amount of lines, because when you add up every phone, if it all came at once at all our buildings, it's probably 11, not 16. Would that reduce our monthly charge at all or no?
It could, yeah. I mean, so, it's based on lines.
So that's the only thing I would look at with Monmouth, if we could reduce that to a more reasonable amount of simultaneous calls, because you figure the museum, the library, all our, it's 11 buildings. So if the calls all came out at once, I don't see it could be any more than 11, right?
Well, I mean, you got museum, library, right. Municipal office, police department.
So 16 seems to be over the top, and that's all. And I'm just wondering if that would bring the 375 more in line with the
it would.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm kind of agreeing with Monmouth Telecom, but I would.
I think on the second. Are you looking at the second quote? Because I think they dropped it essentially to.
I'm looking at the under featured benefits of net service right below it. It says up to 16 lines simultaneous use.
Oh no! That's no.
That's just a capacity.
That's capacity. That's different for two. Theirs is they're doing 11 or 14 depending on where it's going.
If you look at
the roaming, the off net, the off net roaming. So you got a 11 or 14, essentially, depending on 11
from Monmouth.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're per per-line charge is essentially $15, whereas the other one, every line
increase
is $25.
All right, so the savings 25. Isn't that much there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's not, but like I said, the other one is reducing it, but if we use more, if we peak, then we'll get a higher charge. So if we come back and we use 12, then it'd be 12 times 25 will be the charge. So it's not, where they're being a little more, Monmouth is being a little higher on the end of it, saying, hey, this is giving us the bandwidth.
Well, I do realize that, and the other quote is around or about.
Right.
So he's not even narrowed down to what that quote is.
Because it's an added $25 per line.
Okay.
So if there's more line usage consistently, because it's a month-to-month, they evaluate month-to-month, and they would boost it $25 if we go to 12, if we have... So that it's a rough area there.
All right. That clears it up for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
The only comment I would ask or make is going to the question of Cisco versus Yealink. I think our current phone system has been in 20-some years.
Yeah.
So the point is these phone systems last a long time. I guess I would ask Karen if you or the office staff have a preference for Cisco versus Yealink.
I'm not familiar with either.
Okay.
Because
You're the ones who are going to be using it. That's what I'm asking.
I remember Mr. Barato, was that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, Cisco is the Cadillac.
Right.
And that there was nothing wrong with Yealink. It's just some people choose Cadillac, champagne glass versus.
And I'm just.
And like I said, everything I read on the reviews were people that had them for years, no problems. And everybody who seemed to have a problem, it was a problem from moment one. It was it was a bad out of the box kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. So, and that's then replace warranty kind of thing. Like, I didn't read any reviews that it worked for a year and then stopped. It was either they're great or just it had an issue from moment one.
Okay.
You know,
I think I would like to know what Cisco has to offer that Yealink does not. Like, what would the comparison be of the two?
I suspect they're identical.
They're pretty much
from the actual phone. I mean, it is specing out the Polycom, which is Cisco for conference rooms, and I think the places I've noticed the difference.
Right. And the Polycom, the Polycom in there is intended to be potentially here, but again, it's an IP phone, so it could go. We could move it other places if you wanted to have it, as long as there's an Ethernet on the POE line there.
Mm-hmm.
But the intention of that is if we wanted to have when you called in remote, we'd have a phone here that would be, could pick up everybody and essentially everybody could hear you. So
are we at the point tonight of?
I would say
a motion to
approve a direction here.
Do we? We don't have the actual. Is there an executable contract in front of us? Do we make a motion to purchase the Monmouth Telecom system?
I would recommend that if you made a choice as to vendor to allow us to.
The contract.
Right. You're going to approve the terms, so to speak, the financial end of it. But there was some language, and Karen's been working with me to get it from their standard form to one acceptable to us. Primarily not amounts, just terms, payment terms, things like that.
So the contract will come back one more time for final approval. But tonight we would authorize the vendor to.
Yeah, instead of having done it twice, we haven't done nothing. We've moved it along, but there is no meeting of the minds as far as we know what we want to impose, and I anticipate they will accept it because other municipalities they've done that.
Okay.
So it really just comes down to approving the vendor, and if we wanted to approve the vendor. And maybe if we wanted to, is having them come in with their Cisco phone and Yealink to say we approving Monmouth and contingent on, Karen, do you want them to maybe bring in the Yealink phone and plug it in and go through the features and a Cisco phone and plug it in and go through features? I mean, I don't think there'd be a problem if they could do that, it doesn't matter. I mean, pretty much the same features, but.
Yeah,
doesn't hurt. Might help, and I can
do
some research in the meantime too. See what I can get.
Wait, we're selecting a vendor though, and you're going to defer the choice of the unit
because they gave gave us two choices.
Understood.
Cisco phone or the Yealink.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What is the difference in the price?
In dollars, it's about $900.
Yeah,
it's not that. It's not that much.
No.
for if there's an issue with spare parts or any reason that it's better for a unit that's going to last theoretically 20
thought.
Years,
yeah.
I'm indifferent.
Delay expectancy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, or we could just go with the Cisco phones. I mean, like I said, they're good. They're programmable. What you want any what they call soft button, which is basically in the screen, you can change it however you want, and they'll call you call them up in Monmouth, and they go, you want it this
I like way. The fact that you've dealt with them.
Yeah.
You're familiar with them, and you have had no issues with them.
Yeah. I mean, which is fine. I mean,
$900, I don't know if we're just better off going with the better quality phone and hope for the best that it'll last us this amount of time.
Yeah.
It should outlast us.
It should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's fine. I have no issues, had no issues with them, so I just don't want to force the more expensive one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell us what the motion would be? Would it be to
the motion to select a vendor and to authorize the solicitor to negotiate a final contract?
To select Monmouth Telecom as the vendor,
And in accordance with the proposal submitted.
Can we just date that proposal just because we've had a few? It says 5/31,
yep.
I believe.
5/31.
2008 proposal, so there's no confusion.
And then to go also then to say with the Cisco brand phones.
Do we
have a couple days where we could keep going on the path and then just in a couple days?
If you're ready to make the choice, you can make it now. It's one less variable. If you want to defer it until after you've seen it, that's your pleasure.
I don't see us going wrong with the Cisco.
No, you're not going to go wrong with the.
Okay, so then we'll specify the quote from Monmouth Telecom, dated 5/31/2018, for the Cisco phone equipment and related accessories.
So moved.
I believe she just made the motion.
I just made the motion.
Second.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item of business, the title is Littlebrook Lane Property Owners Association Request. We're going to table that for an update in executive session. The action that might come out of this will be to potentially authorize legal expenses outside the retainer that we have. But that will be an executive session update for us. So the next item is Facebook policy, which you also have in front of you.
As a side note, back up, it wasn't on the agenda, but it was part of the phones, is there's the paperwork on Comcast, because I reached out to Comcast just to get an update on the, just so you have it there. These are just the current rates for all the different, the museum, the municipal buildings, some of them that have to be updated, some of them that will be changed. Like most of them, we have one that's staying the same, one that will go up a little. DPW actually go down because their phone system is part of Comcast, so that'll go away, so that price will go down because it'll be part of just the internet service. And it's more just for your reference as to where it will be going to.
Mm-hmm. But we probably should point out that the phone system that we're acquiring will pay for itself in 5 months or 6 months. I mean, it will go from $1,000 a month to $325 a month. On monthly charges.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll considerably drop.
Yeah. 1,000 to what? 1,000 goes down to what?
To
325 or something?
325 or 375.
But yeah, a lot.
Yeah, that's
good. To 375. Pardon me? Okay, so then we're on to Facebook policy update.
Okay, so in front of you is my first draft at the social media thing to try to go forward with getting this more utilized. Figuring out who would be essentially admins, being that the mayor designee, the township clerk, so there would always be an admin that could manage it. And then adding other people as editors, being the police chief, the DPW manager, OEM coordinator. Again, they don't have to be. If they don't want to be, they could always push their items to one of the admins that they want to get posted. You know, if Jack isn't comfortable posting on it, he could certainly push it to Karen or whoever is the designee at the time on the committee. Same with the OEM or anybody. But it's just if they wanted to be, and they could be. also having a yearly approval that the admin, the committee would every year would approve the admin's, just in case that changed amongst the committee, and the clerk would kind of manage to make sure, because the other part of this is you have to have a Facebook presence to be an admin. You can't, you have to have a page. You have to have a, so you have to have a profile, I should say. So going through that, then training, just to go through a training with everybody who would be editors on it to know what can be posted, what can't be posted, making sure they understand how to ensure that it can't be commented on, things like that, because there are, you can accidentally go in there if you don't know what you're doing and
turn the comments on.
Turn commenting on, and so just to go through that process.
That'd probably be me. How about something like lost pets or livestock? Would that be able to get posted through someone, or you don't think that's?
I don't know. That's on the regular page. Is so much covered there. I'd rather not be. Be cluttered with. I'd rather be something that if people are following it, they know it's really truly township related. Maybe we could stem off of that a separate page specifically for that down the road. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't want to clutter it with what would be the municipality page. I'd rather, like I said, with the organization. I had thought about that, but you know, like I said, the list of pre-approved items for posting. You know, everything that's about the standing committees. You know, Hunter County Parks and Rec items, Board of Health items, Fire Department, also putting out there the committee and standing committee agendas if they have, you know, we have them ahead of time, they have them ahead of time to post them out there so people will be aware of what might be happening at those committee meetings. Usually they find out afterwards or in minutes, so, you know.
I just thought that. Thinking out loud.
No, it's, you know, I had thought about it too, and I just, because the problem would be then somebody would have to get that posting from somebody to put it out there, and there'd be potentially a lot more. By the time we got it on there and reviewed it, the pet might be found and you know, taken care of already. Most of the items I'm looking at are items that if they get on at, you know, 8 in the morning or at 4 in the afternoon on a day, it doesn't really matter because it's usually events that are further out. That's the key item here, is kind of looking at those things. The only major item there is, like, you know, road closures when we talk about the electrical and things like that when we had storms. That those, you know, but all we'd be doing around is sitting around twiddling our thumbs anyway. So posting on Facebook would be something to keep the monotony away. So realistically, what I'm looking here is just as the first step of this policy. I'm certainly willing to talk about it more. The one thing I was more looking at is I don't know if we can, because I've been posting here and things when I've talked to you guys, but I haven't gone really aggressively grabbing the stuff from these committees and putting it out there. So at a minimum, if we approve part two, if we feel that's acceptable, then I can move on and post items, and you know, Karen can post items, and we know what is, so to speak, pre-approved to put out there and post out there without any question having to come back every meeting and, hey, this is something we want to post. You know, also looking at part one is fine. On the back of the page, there was just some questions just for more about thought, along the lines of being able to post. Would we want to designate a person from the public that maybe is on one of the other standing committees, be it REC or EOSC or park or whatever, that would be also authorized to post on there after going through a training.
Exactly. I was going to say, why wouldn't we have one person from each standing committee that wanted to? You know, so if one of the standing committees doesn't have Facebook active people, they don't have a presence. If three of the committees do have, each one could have their own editor subject to the training.
Right.
And subject to, if I understand the technology correctly, the admins can look at things, and if they find something that's outside the boundary, they can pull it off.
Pull it off, yeah.
But I think we have to keep our activity at the level where, sort of during business hours, the admins occasionally look at it. because we're not running a 24/7 and monitoring operation.
Part of my thought here is, and why I kind of had it as questions, is the a little more walk run kind of than run
exactly.
is looking at getting step one is the admins going through of who would be editors if they're willing to. If any of them say, yeah, I'd like to be an editor and be able to post, is then set up what that, you know, details of the training, go through a training with them, see what troubles they may have, because they're our employees and then build that into the training before we give it, you know, out to more individuals. And, you know, I'd rather go slow and then have to, find all the bumps, then throw it all out there, and then drag it all back real quick because we had a problem.
But my question, yeah, because on that one section to the pre-approved postings, how and I see for the organizations, what is defined as a pre-approved posting for an organization? Like, is it a defined thing? Is it their agenda and their minutes, or is it, you know, they want to come in? I understand the events are down below, but because there's situations where some of our organizations may have opposing purpose or even views.
Mm-hmm.
I won't get into all the possible scenarios, but is it simply a defined document or event that's pre-approved as opposed to, I think, the mayor said, some organizations may be very active, and that's my other question. Are we going to allow certain organizations, even if they don't have an administrator, to not post at all, or are we going to require some minimum participation, even if it has to be funneled through the clerk's office or the mayor's office or whatever, to require some notice to the public on this, you know.
Just to flip it back, is there any reason that we couldn't allow an organization, if you know, if they're fully paper-based and they want to stay that way, to stay that way?
No, there's no obligation. Mm-hmm. I think my concern is more that we have a website and we have a Facebook page, and if we have the majority of our organizations are very Facebook savvy, that we build up an expectation from the public that this is where our information is going to be housed. Because there's a question on the back about ordinances. Until the law changes, I would try to avoid that because we have spelled out legal obligations under that, and I'm concerned that we don't create the impression that we're going into some alternative notice, even though this may be more effective. Even though this may be more effective in getting more notice out more quickly, I don't want people to think we're not adhering to the requirements.
Without jumping around too much, this contemplates putting, for example, these agenda on Facebook. Where would you draw the line in terms of? Ordinances are very clear that that's, you know, very established publication and things, so you wouldn't mix that.
Well,
would posting this agenda on Facebook be fine?
No, I don't. That every, you know, most of the entities, most of the governing bodies and candidates that
Well, could it come up when someone goes on Facebook that it does have a brief explanation that there is a website, you know, for people to go look at to get those ordinance details and some kind of introductory when they come onto the Facebook page.
There's a descriptor. You have a descriptor page where you can put that in. You know,
right. Well, just to cover
more about the about me, and then you can go into details about that.
Formal,
point them to the website for the minutes, the more detailed minutes in the video audio.
Because we are we are creating records here.
Yep.
So.
Which is a concern I have with. I had sent to Mike and to Mark.
I have a bunch. I'm going to give these to you. I just this because I know it's so detailed. And I said, well, you know, maybe take a top down approach. So I have all the social media policies from the Township of Wycoff, Secaucus, and this one has an actual resolution on it. The Borough of Oakland, and it really. It takes a top-down approach. Why are you doing this? What can't you put on there? What can you put on there? What you need to, the government records thing I didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. When people comment, they shouldn't be able to mention a business in their comments, or you got to take it down. Thing is, you got to have it all, you know. And then this actually, I found Morris County has a social media commenting policy on what you can't, say as a member of the public. So I just. printed them out for you, so I figured.
Oh, that's a slippery slope right there.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
That's why
we just. The one question I was getting, if we publish the agendas for the meetings, do we have any obligation to publish the minutes for the meetings on Facebook?
There's no legal obligation.
Okay,
to
so we could leave those on the website because they're going to be long and.
Yeah, it'd be difficult, right? To
yeah, I wouldn't want to.
The only thing you would, yeah, the only thing I could do is essentially post a link to it on the Facebook, but it'd be better, just like I said, in the descriptor to say for details on minutes.
Go
audio
to
recordings,
website.
Go to the official,
on the official website,
website,
right?
And have it, the link there, and I can add that.
Yeah,
to
this is for informational purposes. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to fulfill our legal obligation via the website, the actual website, and old-fashioned publication.
Yeah, whatever. Because there may be some confusion when it comes to the requirements that we have to post on the on our official website as opposed to Facebook. They may feel, well, why aren't we finding
it
on
there?
Facebook?
Right. And that's what I'm asking. If we start to post the agenda, are we going down a slope where we...
I don't think we're necessarily going to be in any kind of legal jeopardy, but it may create confusion in the sense of less than fully being fully transparent.
Well, they were even saying, too, that, you know, in cases where people don't have access to it, they have to know that they can get the, like, you can't post something on that you're not posting somewhere else.
Right,
they said that the common denominator seems to be that this is a side thing. You really need to refer people back to your main page.
Now, we have our Facebook feed on our website right now. Does that satisfy that obligation?
Well, that's the other way. I need to then on the Facebook point also then up to the web page.
Right, right.
So the website points to the Facebook. We need the Facebook to point to the website. So
going to Bev's point, that if we're announcing something for the community, and I'm not a Facebook, you know, I don't have a Facebook profile, I can't see it, but I can see it on the website now. So
Can scroll through
both ways, but we're
We're not in this either. But there were situations where some of these towns have you have to do it in two languages. Certain people that don't speak English, we're not. But I mean, I didn't even realize when I read through this stuff how many things you really have to think about, or you're going to end up being reactive rather than proactive.
That's
so it's worth just reading. It took a while to find them because not everybody is at that point yet. But these people seem to have done it for a while, so I figure it's
a lot of them go into Twitter and all that.
That's the whole thing. But at least it gives you the government records, what you have to do about that, who's got to be the one that's got to approve the posting, how it's got to go through, because you could see this becoming a free-for-all. And
well,
I don't want to get...
spent 2 years spinning our wheels.
Yeah. Because nobody really was doing it either. So now some people have done it, so we can ride on it.
And that's why I go into the route of here. Yeah. Going. And like I said, before we would go further with anybody on the committees... That's why I'd like to stick with employees and the.
Although I like I like your point of sort of a trial run.
Yeah.
And I would only ask whether, I don't know whether these three editors that you've put here, whether any of them are sort of active enough that they would be the right test case, or if we should pick one of the standing committees to be the first test case editor. I just throw it out there.
If this is an acceptable direction, is then we can reach out to them and find out.
That's what I'm proposing.
You know, and then develop the, you know, then at that point, we have some, you know, anybody in that group that's willing to be the test case, then we sit down and come up, what is the parts of, you know, going through the training process of what we want acceptable and how we want that to go.
Can I ask, other than the events that the subcommittees would hold, what type of posting do you think they would have?
Really, just depends.
Community education.
Yeah.
Depending on the
community. But not opinion of that the individual who's posting or of the
no, and I mean, we could even if we wanted to specify in here, this is not an editorial entity.
That's my same concern.
You know,
help me out here. Someone posts something, standing committee individual makes a post. Do they have to go through you first that you vet it?
At this moment, it would be yes.
So why would that change?
Is if we wanted to give one individual... My only concern... You know, I go back and forth on the thought process. My concern on pushing it into the standing committees in any fashion is it's potentially too easy for someone to then say, hey, post, jump in there and post this for me on my account. I put it there as a question because I'd like to get the opinions of everybody else, and I'd rather it wait a day and get it to me, Karen, or if it was one of the editors,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, if you have an event tomorrow and you're telling me today, well, sorry, shame on you. you know, at this moment, I'd like this, like it to move forward, but I just wanted, more I put the questionnaire so it would get this committee, so if somebody asks, hey, why don't we have the ability to do that, the committee says,
at this time, we want to crawl.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
with you on that.
Really more the reason that question is there. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'd rather us take this at a,
yep.
a logical
snail pace.
Pace.
Yeah.
look at this. This is the comments from children under 13 cannot be posted in order to comply with the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
And
I mean,
how
I
you
wouldn't
know
even
that?
Think. Well, I mean, that's why they have their. You know, I mean, it's all these little.
Again,
you know?
Why there's no comment.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
so
now I don't know what the
right
Twitter
now.
Stuff is. That going
yeah,
to
me too.
Affect Facebook with
I think for now we just leave it with the mayor, township clerk, or whatever. Work with that small group right
okay.
now. Figure out where we're all going with this. I think if you get involved with the standing committees and everything right now off the bat, you know, who isn't able to post, who doesn't Facebook, you know, we don't know right now.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone should have the right to, if we allow it, that they all have that freedom to post. So I think let's keep it a little bit a narrow look at it right now before we move into this
perfectly
in any
fine with that.
Large
what is the vision,
way.
Though, for the Facebook page? More just to get word out to the public.
That was
yeah.
the original plan,
yeah, yeah.
was in the state.
So that shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, right. And not be cluttered like the ones that are by residents mm-hmm. are cluttered with some other items. So if somebody's following this page and they get something from it, they know it directly
right.
is about the township in some part of the municipality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I tried to, you know, also think about what are the items here on here. The only one that I kind of strayed outside of it is the Hunterdon County Parks, because they do a lot of activities that really people would want to know about. And outside of me getting some of the emails from them, I don't know how many people would know about them, to be honest with you.
I do get various different requests on and off through the year for events that are going to be held through other agencies. Maybe, I don't know, just say the food pantry or Meals on Wheels. They're doing a fundraiser.
Right.
Or so I think things like that would have to be
absolutely.
Evaluated or,
yeah.
you know.
But things like that that are, you know, most of the public probably wouldn't know about
right.
if it's put out there. So this
right.
way, if it's coming through, they know it's something, hey, that's
mm-hmm.
township or maybe county related that they might be interested in being, you know, involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually they find out about it when the newspaper is reporting on the
yeah.
event and it shows a picture and say, I would have loved to go in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I knew about it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So given the what I think the consensus here is, do you need any action from us tonight?
My initial thought process is, I'll start with one, is if that looks like a good starting point, then I'll work on a training program.
Okay. But you don't need a motion or anything to do
point,
that.
I wouldn't say for
yeah.
one. I just wanted to
yeah.
kind of give you my idea of what
yeah.
the authorization thing would be.
Yeah.
I'll start putting together then a training process and program for the other three members. We'll see what, maybe we'll Karen reach out to them and see if any of them would be interested in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I would like the opportunity to sit with you too and to really take a look at it, and you can show me exactly what,
right,
how you want me to work with it also.
Okay. And so really, if there's anybody that, you know, any thoughts on that, then really line two would be pre-approvals of by groups for that. If they email me, I can basically then email out these groups, hey, if you have events, send them to me, send them to Karen,
right,
and we'll get them posted. But understand that it's not a right now thing. It,
yeah.
Make sure you
yeah.
send it, you know, a week or so in advance of your event kind of thing. And really, this is my initial list of items that I would say would be there. If there's anything you feel shouldn't be there, we'll strike that from it. But I don't think there's anything on there. And also understanding, as I said, nothing would be editorial. It's mm-hmm. all really event-driven or agendas or, you know, of that nature. Of upcoming events. Right, Matt?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That works for me.
So we don't need any action. We're done with that. Is it maybe a motion
that item two of the are good for me to move forward with reaching out to all the standing committees that they can start funneling event items to get posted there.
So we're looking for a motion to authorize the administrators of our Facebook site to reach out to the standing committees to start funneling information onto Facebook.
And they will channel information to the administrators.
Only to the administrators at this point.
Right.
Yep. Is there a motion for that?
So moved.
I'll second it then.
Brian, second it. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the Mark show is the lighting upgrade and energy grant.
I don't think I talked this much when I was mayor.
No, I know.
Okay. So, a few months ago, a company came through that was part of the direct install program in New Jersey. New Jersey has a program that applies to electrical devices, primarily lighting and HVAC. And what happens is the state mandates a certain value that every fixture is worth depending on the type of fixture, and they will pay 70% of the replacement of that fixture to make it more efficient. And then we obviously have to pick up the other 30%. Part of the thought process here, we're trying to look towards beautifying the buildings and getting them up, more current. They looked at four of our buildings, the municipal building, actually two of the stations and the library. And the total cost pre-state grant, so to speak, would be $57,528 worth of lighting upgrades. Our portion would be $18,932 for those lighting upgrades. They also had looked at HVAC. The problem with us here is we're oil, not natural gas. So there's different program for the oil, and it's just more difficult. They don't have as much money to work with, so they have a lot more stringent requirements to get it through. We ran the numbers with what we could get, and there was only like two of the units in a municipal building that would actually be covered. So it's really, at the end of the day, it's really not worth it. You really want to put them all together because the HVAC has a longer payback than lighting. Lighting always is a really good payback. If you look at these, most paybacks are a year and a half on the numbers. So it really comes down to most of our equipment is realistically good for another 7+ years. There's only a couple that are in rough shape. We may have to look at a couple years to replace them, but in the program, it just doesn't financially make a whole lot of sense. Also because they're difficult pieces of equipment, so they may not meet the criteria being split systems. It's really designed around rooftop units and, package equipment that's a quick on, quick off kind of thing, not stuff that's buried up in ceilings.
Could I just confirm, did you say the lighting, is the DPW building in the lighting?
Oh, yes, the DPW was in there too, yes. So it was five buildings. I think it was then five buildings.
Yeah.
Even though it's 5 years old, the lighting going to LED, the prices on the LED has dropped tremendously since that building was built, and the energy savings on it. You're talking usually one bulb replacement is usually one-fifth the energy usage on those large bulbs. So you're going from like a 250 or 300 watt bulb to like a 40 watt equivalent, on the LED. So this is basically, it's a state mandated program. So it's really not a bid process item. They dictate if you looked at the pages, there's all the different fixtures, and the state has already dictated, okay, if you're replacing this type of fixture, this is how much money they paid for it. End of story. It's only if we wanted we really want that lens to be frosted, not, you know, that style. It's if we made demands on how the fixture was being replaced. Otherwise, they replace in kind.
And they provide the contractor. We don't have to go out to bid.
They provide the contractor. No bid. It's all paid through the direct install program. And the direct install contractor within, I think in this case, it was CMC, Energy Services. And that's that. Just so you know, the state interviews every couple years contractors. Prior to this, there was only 6 contractors authorized in the state of New Jersey to do this work. I think there's now 10 or 12 authorized in the state of New Jersey to do this work, just because there's so much of it, and the 6 just couldn't keep up with the demand.
And what did you say the payback was? So if we invest $18,932 to get roughly $80,000 worth of lighting upgrade, the payback period you said was?
They range, but they're the ones 1.5, 1.48
years.
Years.
1.5 to,
you know,
so one and a half, roughly 1.5 to 2 years.
Yeah, nothing's over that. 1.65, I think, is the most, is the highest payback. Okay.
So our electric bills should go down over the course of 1.5, 1.6 years.
Well, they'll go down immediately.
To pay, but over 1.5 to 6 years, we make back the $18,932.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then in years 1.5 out,
it's extra.
We're saving whatever it turns out to be, $9,000 a year in electric bill.
Correct. And they've got to do this number, that they got 12 months of our electric bills to determine the values and where our electric
is. So this
is
on our real usage.
Real usage.
Are you asking tonight for us to approve a contract? Because I think this would go into our capital ordinance. We'd want to budget it through the capital ordinance, I
right.
assume. So keeping the, I think...
Really coming here to find out what the... You know, one, if the committee is in favor of going to the next step of getting them to do it, and then how, you know, what do we have to go to Greg before we would approve it, you know, that kind of thing.
What I would assume tonight, what we would do is get a vote from the committee to discuss this with the CFO and make sure that we have the funding available, and then come back to enter the contract. I don't know if that makes sense with you.
Yeah.
How long do we have to enter the contract?
Well, at this point now, the money renewed on June 1st. So
these prices are good for some...
They're good for
a few months from now.
Until next June 1st,
okay.
Essentially.
Okay.
But the problem is, you know, the monies do run out, so the earlier we get on the list... You know, they renew every June 1st. Everybody's electric bill has a little bit we've been paying into for the past 30 years.
Okay.
And then now they've started taking out of that fund, and they're basically using, you know, the interest to cover all these items.
That's where the $57,000 comes from.
Yes.
So I would ask Matt your advice. Do we make a motion, or is there just sort of a consensus?
No, I don't think you need a formal motion at this point. I think it would be premature.
Any discussion?
Unless there's any objection, we can follow up. And
okay. I think the plan sounds good. You know, with a year and a half to 2 years return.
Yep. So then we'll follow up with the CFO and be back to the committee for action.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark.
Wonderful.
Anything else?
Yes, Mark, if you'd like if you'd like to cover. The next item is the DPW maintenance garage floor proposal.
Yeah. Next item. Okay, so as you know, we met with this has been on, you know, as the our journalist here has noted that it's been on our agenda quite often. We met with the Frompkin Brothers contractor, talked about the floor, discussed it. They were recommended to me from another architect that you know that they do a lot of work in laboratories and that kind of work. So they're not a fan of the heavy grinding down because they said you can't feather it. You can't. You're going to get steps. You know, as you go around and grind this, yes, you could make, but you're going to, it's going to be hard to get this perfect feather, so it's going to drain in there. They'd be more, their recommendation is to build up the perimeter, which is where the water tends to go, to prevent it from getting up that high, and then tapering it down towards the drain. The drains, as you can tell from the drawings, are pretty much the highest point in the floor. Warren feels he can at least chisel around the drain to pull that drain out to see how far he can drop it and then drop that round drain down. And then, at least then, the water will go towards it. And then they could still then squeegee and push towards that.
Could I stop? Because I attended the when the contractor came. They were also, I mean, they were clear about the feathering, but they were also clear that unless you put like a quarter inch per foot slope,
yes,
water's not going to run. You know, surface tension of water, everything else, the kind of eighth inch that we're talking about, you're going to have water settling around. So it drove a discussion to say, what is the real problem we're trying to solve here? And part of the problem we're trying to solve is that right now water flows under the wall toward the office area, and it's destroying that wall, and it, you know, it flows into the other corner and it puddles in the corner. So that's where we also came up
with raising that whole perimeter, because it raises
the idea was raise the perimeter to make sure we protect the edges, because that's the real problem, and then drop like a 4 foot section in the middle so that water will go in that area, water will go to the drain, and then the rest of it is just sort of cosmetic to take out high spots.
So they will have to squeegee some of that water to the center.
Right.
You're going to create a curve under the doors. Will the doors have to be cut?
Most likely, but they're metal hollow doors.
And reaching underneath them, there's a good inch and a half or so that can be cut
to
trim the doors down. So it doesn't. Right now, we don't think there's rehanging of doors and everything else.
The big thing I said, perimeter around there, because that'll protect, like I said, it going into the break room, it'll protect where the water reclamation system is, that it sits under there, and the tire system. The water all tends to sit in that other corner where the tire system, which is expensive.
How far back does that go? Does it go? Does that 1 inch elevation go over towards the stairs? Will that change the tread?
No, it'll start about 4 feet in off the wall.
Out from that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll go past. It'll start from the wall and go past the staircase.
Okay, so you come down the stairs, you land on a normal platform that's always been there. Step up over a 1 inch curve.
No. That'll be raised there. That'll be 1 inch raised at the step down. So you'll step off that stair. It'll be 1 inch higher right there.
Really?
The first rise.
I don't know. You better check that, because if that last step is 1 inch more than all the others,
1 inch could less.
1 inch less.
1 inch less,
yeah,
so it's
because we're building up the floor.
That's my point. So let's say all the steps are 8 inches and the last one's seven.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Okay.
That could be a problem.
Okay.
So just look at that. Usually a quarter inch is of the allowance on a step variation.
Okay. You can look and see if we just have to.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
The other item that's with this, though, the other item that's in there is a trench drain. As a thought process to get, you can get values for it. Is since we'd be cutting up, we have to cut up the round drain as it sits right now, and that Warren feels he can chip around that and pull it up and essentially lower it what we need. If we wanted to put more of a trench drain in that same location, either 4 or 8 feet, then we'd have to get it saw cut and dropped in there. I just put the trench drain paperwork more as just a reference as to what I'm talking about as a trench drain. And they run about the material on a trench drain, $100, $150 a foot for what we'd be looking for. It's not in the drive area. It wouldn't necessarily be driven over because it'd be in the center under underneath the unit. And saw cutting, talking to a saw contractor, it'd be, because of what it is, 2 men a day in the machine that has to go down 8 inches deep to get through that concrete to saw cut out that item. So they were saying probably $2,500 for the saw cutting. Plus, if we need a plumber to tie it in. I don't know if it's something we want to go or we just want to drop the round down. The only reason I was bringing up the trench drain item is if they still have to squeegee, you know, squeegeeing a wall of water that's 4 feet wide towards a 18-inch hole, you're going to have, you know, 10 inches on either side or so go past it that you're going to have to catch it. So if you had a 4 or an 8-foot long trench that you're pushing towards, it should hopefully catch it all. I was just figuring, again, bring it up to the committee as a conversation so we don't say, hey, why didn't we think about that?
Just to state the numbers for the public, the quote for the floor work, like we've seen year after year, different solutions come to us. This is $44,692.
$47.
Excluding tax.
Oh, good point.
To add a trench drain on, whether that's another $5,000, we don't have a good quote yet for it, but
right.
$5,000, $7,000, $8,000. So we're, you know, it's a $50,000 project.
Boy, a lot of squeegees.
And what we're accomplishing is we're protecting the walls and the equipment in some of the areas where the water now goes. We'll have less standing water in certain. You know, we have puddles in certain areas. We won't have, you know, quarter inch puddles, but it won't be a dry floor.
Right.
And I'm not sure it ever could have been. Because, you know, with the lifts and things that have to work in there, we couldn't have a quarter-inch slope per foot like they have in some of the other areas. So
this, and this, again, it's like a minimum temperature of 60 degrees, but if it gets too hot or too humid, they have to stop. So if you get, I mean, I guess you wouldn't want to do this in the middle of the summer.
We'd have to work that out with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's their business. They're going to know when they can and look at the weather, you know. They have prep work to do, and you know, because they essentially, they're not going to take off the epoxy. They're going to bring in a machine that would essentially rough it up.
Because the buildup would be epoxy.
Right. Well, I remember
years ago we talked about
stepping back. We talked about putting it up, and then we niched it because we were afraid it was going to crack or.
But that was a concrete. That was like a rigid concrete buildup.
Whatever.
Yeah. This is literally epoxy. It's a hardened epoxy that's rated at. The right way, you know, like it's, yeah.
Still has to stick to whatever it's sticking.
Right, so which is why they still have to bring in essentially a grinder that would grind the whole surface to essentially rough it up like you would rough any, you know.
Like sandpaper.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're sanding your piece of wood after you varnish it to put another layer of varnish on, you know, it's same principle.
My thought of what we're doing tonight is briefing everyone on another alternative, but I don't think we're taking a vote tonight either way, because I think, you know, it's a material amount.
Right.
It's not the magic solution. There isn't a magic solution. So I think the thought was to bring this in front of everybody, table it to the next meeting, give people some time to look in and, you know, give feedback like you've mentioned, Tom. You will double check the stair and if some of that works. So any other discussion comments tonight, or
this one thing about if they see the existing floor system is failing, I mean,
if the epoxy that's on there, which marks that they're not going to take up, but if they find spots that are bubbling and things,
if there's poor adhesion in some area,
okay.
Well, there was some residual cracks in that area, wasn't there? From general construction back in the day, so if maybe they saw that when they looked at it.
I think that's a standard disclaimer since they're putting epoxy on other things. But I don't
they
remember.
They didn't point out any issues of, you know,
concrete, that happens.
I really don't remember many cracks in that floor.
No, I think in the other.
Maybe in the other?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's just that when I see additional costs to remove the old system may apply. I mean, it's going to happen no matter who does it. I'm just making a point, like, that there could be more
exactly.
costs.
Yeah.
So any other discussion tonight, or we'll all think about it, do our...
And just one last, where would the trench drain be?
In the same spot that the round drain is, but it would be long ways as in the same direction as a truck.
Okay.
You know, so it would go directly under the truck, you know, long way, so it wouldn't get in any way of the wheels or anything. It wouldn't have to be driven over. So that is just a thought process that we were talking about as another option that, hey, at this point we're chipping and cutting and redoing.
And that trench drain will eventually drain to the drains that are already there?
Correct. It would replace the round drain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So we'll have the DPW floor on the agenda again another time. With that, we're on, unless any other old business?
No, I'm done.
Anyone?
Can't talk anymore.
Anyone else have any other old business you'd like to bring up?
Do not.
Then we're on to new business. The first item of new business is an impending retirement announcement, which I'd like to turn over to the liaison to the district.
Okay. We just received the impending retirement of Joan Lucas, who's, as you well know, has been involved with our museum and has also been a library employee. I think she'll stay with us till the end of the year, but at this point thinks that it's time that she steps aside, regretfully so. But anyway, she sent us a letter, and I'd like to just read the letter for everyone's. And it's made out to Karen Sendors and the Lebanon Township Committee, dated May 2018. This isn't to inform you of a very hard decision I have made. As of December 31st, 2018, I will be retiring from the museum and the Bunville Library. How can I thank you for my world, my life, for 30-plus years? With folks like Louise Schleicher, Pat Shriver, Ralph Bleck, believing I could do it, I did it, and I loved it. Whatever help I can be to the museum or the library, I am not going anywhere at 81. I'm getting slower every day. With love and tears, respectfully, yours, Joan Lucas. I think that was such a nice letter, and it would be greatly missed.
Yep.
But you'll be here with us through the rest of the year.
Yep, so we don't have to accept her resignation until December.
That's great. We have to get used to it.
Thank you, Tom. Next item of new business is for the accident policy for the Junior Police Academy. The police chief and the police department are scheduling the effective dates. The academy this year is scheduled for July 9th to July 13th, 2018. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? The cost of insuring for that academy period is $350. So I think this discussion would be to approve the police academy occurring, so it's a designated event, and then to approve entering the insurance policy for $350.
I'll make a motion to approve the police academy event for July 9th through July 13th, 2018.
Second.
And the insurance as well?
Do you want to do it at the same time?
Well, okay, either one. Okay. Second roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then a motion for the insurance.
I'll make a motion to approve the insurance for the Junior Police Academy for 719 through 713. 7-9 through 713. There it is. Two sets of dates.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Any other new business from anyone on the committee? Then we're on to presentation of vouchers.
All right. I have one for Frank Ryman Sons Incorporated. This is for the new mower, the Ferris mower, in an amount of $10,800. I'm told it's working extremely well. Emergency systems, maintenance agreement, DPW generator, $2,100, 26, and 5 cents.
I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer.
One.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The next one is dependable fire equipment, and that's in the amount of $2,633.50. That's for all our
inspections and fire extinguisher. That's it.
Okay. I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer. This is general services rendered for the month of April, $1,833. I also have one for statewide insurance, which is our installment 3 of 4 for workman's compensation, and our umbrella assessment installment 3 of 4 combined total of $51,124.25.
First one I have is for our new ambulance, which we ordered a little over a year ago, I believe. It's being delivered this week, and the invoice is in the amount of $215,933. I then have associated mailing and printing, $1,200 for postage of, for the tax bills. Our Dido and Company, our township auditor, the final billing of the annual fee. This bill is in the amount of $7,457. LMR disposal, this was for the spring cleanup day, including a net refund for the scrap metal value of $537.60. The net total is $1,973.60. And then to Karen Newman for preparation of the newsletters, website maintenance, website domain name renewal, total of $1,020.18.
I have none that apply.
I have one for J&D Auto Body for repairs to the 2017 Ford Expedition for $2,581.69. I have one for Allied Oil for gasoline for the police for $1,641.20. That's it.
Before I ask for a motion for the voucher list, if there's no objection, I'd like to add a voucher, or I'd like to authorize the treasurer to prepare a voucher for Point Mountain Mechanical. This was for the station number 3 freeze-up repairs that happened in December 29th through January 5th, when we had some broken pipes and the like in Station 3, in the amount of $1,332.37, if there's no objection.
Well, I don't know if, aren't they responsible for that maintenance according to their agreement with the lease agreement?
Under the lease agreement, the township is responsible for heating repair and the like. There was a question of whether in a sort of tenant-landlord relationship, if the tenant is responsible for the actions that resulted in the frozen pipes, and we went back and forth, and it's a discussion, but that's what I'm asking, if the committee would like to pursue that further. Or
well,
if we'd like
I would
to.
Like to pursue it further, because I got a pretty irate call about it today and was told I could say that. So I would like to just investigate it and see how it fits in with our lease.
Okay.
Well, we pay for the oil.
I know, but there were some things that happened, and they were just wondering whose responsibility it is, because apparently there were some ceiling tiles,
no,
the heat's
wrong.
Escaping,
wrong.
I don't know. So,
completely
well, we need
wrong.
To investigate then.
Yeah. No,
so I just
was
got
there
that call.
The next day.
Okay, well, we should investigate it, because I'm...
It doesn't need to be. It's been done.
I guess, well, let me ask the question.
I have no problem with paying that bill.
I don't want to hold the mechanical company, Point Mountain Mechanical. I think this service was provided in December through January. Could I propose that we pay it and then decide in a future discussion how we settle up with the fire department?
No, so we pay you oil and electric?
Yes.
We pay
the oil.
For that
and,
bill,
yeah.
we do.
And
yeah.
not the electric, just the oil?
I don't know where the electric bill goes.
No, we pay the electric.
Yeah, okay.
So. And the oil was on autofill, so that wouldn't be... naturally their issue to check that the autofill was happening. Theoretically,
right, that works on the degree day.
And this happened
right.
the same time last year, and it was they were supposed to, the oil company was supposed to go and check and make sure, and they didn't. And
they,
it happened
what,
literally almost to the day.
What would they check?
To how much oil is being used.
That was the problem.
You ran out of oil and then...
Ran out of oil.
Now... The bigger picture was that there's obviously an insulation problem in
yeah,
that
well.
Building, and that's why it uses so much more oil than the other buildings. And that's is that a defect in the fact that it's a 40-year-old building or whatever it is, and it's not well insulated? Or is there another issue?
The squad had issues with that also.
Yeah.
They had freeze up.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have it.
And so the township owns the building.
That's correct.
If it's a defect in the building, if it's a defect in the building, that's something we would do. If it's a, you know, some, you know, if somebody left the front doors open and caused pipes to freeze, that would be a different situation. But so unless anyone disagrees, we could pay the vendor and then follow up next meeting in terms of which account we charge it to.
Fact finding.
Yeah, because I mean, the whole ceilings were insulated and sealed.
Excuse me?
The ceilings were sealed long before that happened, and they actually sealed it far better than it was when they received it, because they went back through and redid the insulation. And it goes back to the problem, which has been there since day one, is the ductwork's not insulated, which we talked about before, but I can't find a contractor willing to do it. And we're losing probably all that money up through the insulation. That's the ductwork. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with them or... It's the construction that was done in the 70s, which was
correct.
Cheap.
That's you answered it right there. It's construction that's.
But it does sound like something that should have been addressed years ago.
Yes, and should be addressed now.
I believe
other maintenance on the building that needs to be addressed by us.
It's going to fall to us to address it. Mark's already looked into it and hasn't been able to find someone to put insulation around the ductwork up there.
You know, and I've talked to the fire department, and they, you know, if we buy the materials, they'll do it, but it's, you know, rough, you know, they're not sure if they can do it properly, so they don't want to be then, you know, they're not insulating contractors, you know, so if it was just rolling insulation out on the ceiling, which they did already,
it helps, but it's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, well, you know, they can do that, and they said it doesn't help, but because, I mean, you literally have the heating ductwork that is steel just radiating the heat, and there's nothing stopping it, you know. So we really
let's
need an insulating contract.
Let's pay the vendor.
Yeah.
So that's not his problem.
Yes, pay the vendor. But
you know?
So the motion would be to approve the voucher list, including the Point Mountain Mechanic, the direction to the treasured issue payment to Point Mountain Mechanic.
As spoken, I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. So now, correspondence. Couple of items.
Just a little comment.
I'm sorry.
This issue, was this ever on the agenda? Did we ever discuss this?
Which issue?
With the freezing and all that was going on with that?
This invoice has not been on the agenda before.
Right. But I mean, the incident and stuff.
It came about when I went there and to try to figure out why, where's the heat going? Because the complaint came in exactly what Bev said, and I went there, went up in the attic, and found out it was completely false, that all the insulation was in there, and found out that the reason it is because all the heat goes out the ductwork.
I heard ceiling tiles were missing.
No.
Yes, they were, Mark.
Years ago, when they were doing the work.
No.
In the kitchen on that.
They were. I saw them myself.
On that far
I was
side
there. I saw them myself.
I just want to make sure it gets to the right place.
The ceiling
place,
tile is an insulation.
You know?
But I think going to your question, it happened between our last meeting and our reorg, and I don't know why it would have come on the agenda, because it was an emergency repair. So
this
is the first time it's coming up now.
Been able to avoid any more issues with...
Exactly. That's why I don't think it's come up yet. So.
Yeah, okay.
I'm hearing it last minute. Well, I have to, you know.
I think we're on to the next item. We're on to
well, everybody else got their chance to talk a little bit more after we shut it down. But
so what's your action?
I just, from what I'm hearing, people were told for a couple of months that this was going to happen. So I just wonder, do we get the people in here? Did we get Warren in here? Do we get Jimmy in here together and talk about it? How do we fact find? Just so we can put it in the right spot.
I don't. Unless anyone wants to make a motion at this point, we'll take it under advisement.
Yeah, we're kind of behind the curve now, but that's what was my comment. We should have. This should have been maybe talked about earlier, and maybe would not have.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because when I get that call half an hour before
a
meeting,
I found out about it, and I literally was that same week. I went there with Jimmy. And it opened up the thing, went up in the attic, went around the whole place. There was no ceiling tiles, there was no insulation. So there was damage because of the leaks, and there was tiles out where the leaks were, but they were gone because that's where pipes that were leaking and destroyed tiles.
Right.
And so, and they They had to repair it. They hadn't gotten to repairing and replacing those tiles that were damaged at that moment.
Was the oil company Van Dorn still? Or
no. Was it Finch still?
Finch.
I think it's still Finch.
Yeah. I would go by whatever the lease, whoever would be responsible, what Matt would say, whatever is in the lease.
And
let you be the final decider on
that. We'll fact find on that then.
Yeah.
So, correspondence. We received a letter that we were anticipating for some time from the County Tax Board Administrator indicating that for 2019 we will be required to do a revaluation of the township. So that will be a significant event that we will be discussing in future meetings. Tax Collector's Monthly Report for the month of May 31st, 2018. Taxes collected for 2018, $3,317,542.44. Taxes for the year 2017, $5,605.02. Interest in the amount of $2,569.38 for total collections and disbursements of $3,325,716.84. Tax collector report for the month of April 2018. Taxes collected for the year 2018, $1,007,907.51. Taxes for the year 2017 collected, $42,620.90. Interest of $2,905.87. Year-end penalty, $5,507.15. Penalty interest, $256.08 for total collections, which equals disbursements of $1,059,197.51. We have the minutes from the Township of Lebanon Historians. I don't know. I don't see anything to highlight there unless anyone wanted to bring anything up. And the Township Environmental Open Space Commission minutes from April 9th, 2018. Unless there's any other comments there. Any other correspondence the committee would like to mention? If not, then is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open public comment.
Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call. Mr. Wendell.
Yes.
This time the floor is open for any member of the public who would like to make a comment.
Ron, would you pass this? Thank you.
Ron Mikowski, Rockland Road. I was just looking through the bill list. One question I have is I see there's 2017 Explorer. Damages, front end damages, and rear end damages. What the heck happened?
Can't recall. The
other thing is, was there? I assume it was in some sort of an accident.
Is that the police Explorer?
Police vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they had. I know they hit a deer.
And it back.
It was in a sort of a duty call situation.
Okay,
it wasn't.
My only question was a report done? Was it a preventable accident or not? More than likely, when you hit a deer, it's usually not.
Yeah, I don't think the deer was.
I saw on there said rear damage. That's what I was questioning. You don't have to answer that.
We'll look into
it. I know it was a deer.
I know there was deer damage, but I.
And the other thing is, I see in there with our Comcast bills, like the DPW and the police department are like $100. More than the municipal building. It seems to be there's more activity, more things in the municipal building than the other two facilities. What's the difference?
I think there's entertainment packages on those for
why
break
do we
times.
Have entertainment packages, may I ask?
That's
the reason I say is we went through this several years ago. Happened to be one of the facilities was using the entertainment packages, and if the person is working, they're supposed to be on duty. Not watching Yankee baseball, which your premium events is, I believe that needs to be looked into.
It's not a higher bandwidth of internet, right? It's the entertainment phones.
Well, the DPW has phones, so that's higher because it's covering three phones.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I got the information back from the Comcast is that it gets a lower deal, even if we use it or not, if they include the phones TV and the internet. I don't know if it's even hooked to a TV there or not.
I understand a TV, they need weather, things like that comes across.
None of them are entertainment. They call it TV. It's basic TV. They're all.
I literally
just went through them this week, and that's what we have in front. It's all just basic.
Because, like I said, I've seen it before where it was corrected.
Yeah, no, they're both listed as basic TV for DPW and the police. So that's the way the Comcast has them. So.
Thank you.
We can review again. Thanks. Any other public comment? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, as indicated, we will be going into executive session, so that would be Resolution 47-2018. First, there's a matter of attorney-client privilege, and second, there will be an update on the CWA contract negotiation. Is there a motion to approve Resolution 47-2018 going into executive session? Second. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes.